We welcome you to this worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church for Sunday, the 23rd of August. It is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast. Do remember that forwarding this email and podcast to others is a wonderful way to both share your faith as well as to present to your congregation, Calvary Lutheran, to others. And if you are someone who is on the receiving end of a forwarded email and are listening to this podcast once again, or perhaps for the first time, let us take a moment to welcome you. We're glad that you are listening, and we hope that this this worship service is a blessing to you and a good spot on your Sabbath day or whenever it is you may be having an opportunity to listen. God be with you as we worship. I want to share with you a couple of announcements. First of all, to lift up our mission of the month, Opportunity International. We have two more weeks with which to show our support for that international ministry that provides microloans, business consulting, a whole range of financial support services for people in countries where opportunities for such are few and far between, particularly for the poor. And they do a wonderful work in Jesus' name, and we hope that you will support it and the work that they do around the world. Bishop John Brodowski, Bishop Emeritus, I should say, of the North American Lutheran Church, is underwent surgery on Thursday of this week. Please hold him in his recovery in your prayers. He suffered a fall about a month or so ago and suffered significant neck and back damage in that fall. The surgery to repair that damage is going to be extensive, and we covet your prayers on his behalf for the next several months, as the road to recovery is surely going to be a deliberate one. By way of other prayer requests in our congregation, Megan Sayas asks for prayers for her cousin, Elizabeth Scott, who was involved in a serious boating accident. Forgive me, was involved in a serious boating accident and suffered extensive injuries, fractures, and so forth, particularly the spinal area. Prayers are requested for Elizabeth, and particularly in this year when Elizabeth was also mourning the passing of her mother, who died in February. So prayers for Megan's Uncle Peter and brothers and other cousins, Nick and Amanda, are requested too. And finally, I want to give you an update on Bill Jordan. Some of you may have heard that Bill was diagnosed with the COVID-19 virus. Shirley reports to us as of today, Thursday, when we're recording this, that he is doing much better. Symptoms were and remain very mild, very little fever, and very encouraged for a full recovery. So we are thankful to God for that. We begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please now take a few moments for silent reflection. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Almighty God, your mercy endures forever, revealed through your Son's life, death, and resurrection. With faithful followers of all generations, make us boldly declare Jesus as Lord and proclaim his redeeming and reconciling work to all people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you are hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was only one man, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me, My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait and hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 138 responsively. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame.
When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me.
May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed.
May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great.
Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me.
The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 11 and 12. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hi there, it's Mr. Kyle here with the children's message. And to start, I have a riddle for you. I am as light as a feather, yet the strongest person can't hold me for more than 5 minutes. What am I? While you're thinking on that, we'll talk through our gospel lesson for this morning, because today we heard that Jesus asked a similar question to his disciples. He asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And one of his disciples, Peter, answers. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus praises Peter because he gives the right answer. But he says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." What Jesus means is that to believe that he is the Messiah or the Christ, which is another term that means the same thing as Messiah that we sometimes use, and to confess that Jesus is the Christ, that is, to say with our mouths that he is the Son of the living God, is not something that we can figure out by ourselves or learn on our own. It is an act of faith. And faith is a gift that God gives us in baptism. It's not something we can make or find or be good enough to earn. And in baptism, God gives us even more. In addition to faith, to believe in him, he also gives us the forgiveness of all our sins and eternal life by uniting us to Jesus' death and resurrection. And this is good news for you and for me, because in our gospel reading, Jesus also says that the gates of Hades can't overcome his church. Saying the gates of Hades is just another way of saying death. And Jesus attacks death by his death and resurrection. And he wins. And because God unites us to Jesus in our baptism, we win too. So let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son to give us victory over death. And we thank you for giving us faith to believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, now for the answer to that riddle. Here it is again. I'm as light as a feather, yet the strongest person can't hold me for more than 5 minutes. What am I? Breath. I hope you have a great week.
Before I begin my message this week, I'd like to reread a portion of our second lesson from Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine this scene. Jesus walks with his disciples in the yawning hours of the day. No especially large crowds this time as evening settles in, just Jesus and his inner circle assessing the day and the prospects for tomorrow. They are far from home, to the upper limits of the physical boundaries of Israel, 40 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, in a town called Caesarea Philippi, built by the Jewish governor Philip, brother of the infamous King Herod, to honor Caesar Augustus. The town Philip built lies only 4 miles from the ancient Jewish city of Dan, where nearly 1,000 years earlier, Israel's King Jeroboam erected an altar with a golden calf and introduced pagan worship to the Jews that would persist for centuries. Jesus and his entourage pause to rest. As they sit beside the road, heads start to bob from the combination of fatigue from the walk that day and the advancing hour. Jesus breaks the silence. What are people saying about me? The disciples look at one another, waiting for someone to answer. One of them speaks up, buying time perhaps as much as seeking clarification by asking, "What do you mean?" "Who do the people say that I am?" Jesus says with emphasis. We've been hearing John the Baptist, Elijah, a few, Jeremiah or some other prophet, they reply. After another silence, Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" But this time there is hardly any pause. Peter bursts out with, "You are the Christ, the Messiah of God." He looks Jesus in the eye, while the others stare off in the distance to the next town where their supper or a night's sleep are. Scanning their faces, Jesus returns his gaze to Peter and breaks the silence a final time. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." No one says a word, least of all Peter. But try to imagine Peter's face, flushed with pride, red with embarrassment, wide-eyed in reverence, that bewildered look. Hard to know. What most of the other men know is it's too far into the day for conversations like these, but to a man, everyone had to know that Jesus was in a different mood this night. He had other things on his mind besides how the next town would treat them, or what miracle of healing someone would ask of him, and whether such would engender anything more than a burst of faith and popularity, more than offset by the rising contempt many were holding him in. Jesus is going much deeper this evening, deep into his people's history, even past Jeroboam's decision to stake Israel's fortune on the God of the Canaanites instead of the God of Abraham and Moses. Jesus is thinking origins and the place the Bible calls Eden, and human rebellion against God, and how quickly a decision of a man and woman to decide life for themselves became worship of the self. Just outside Caesarea Philippi, perhaps very near where this conversation took place, was a cave and a spring of water, a good place for road-weary travelers to pause. The locals believed it to be haunted, and the Greeks and Romans believed it to be the dwelling place of the god Pan, so they erected a bunch of temples by it. The cavern from which these waters flowed was so deep and so spooked the locals that the entrance of the cave became known as the Gate of Hades, hell, or death for our purposes. It may have been there that Jesus told Peter the confession he'd just made would be the foundation upon which Jesus would erect his church, and that gate of Hades would be closed. Things are accelerating in the Gospel of Matthew now. Miracles and healings are giving way to death and resurrection predictions, weighty stuff. Within days of this conversation, Jesus would be transfigured on a mountain near Caesarea Philippi, Mount Hermon just to the north, or perhaps Mount Tabor a little to the south. Then it's off to Jerusalem to show what God meant when he said on that Transfiguration Mountain, "This is my Son, listen to him," and therefore what it means for a person to call Jesus the Christ, their Savior and their Lord. On this evening, on this road, by these gates of Hades, Jesus was looking back to the beginning and forward to eternity, and how what he was about to do would loose the power of sin forever, making a simple confession the means for us to be so loosed. Eden, King Jeroboam, the current compromises of Herod, the future failures of even the church, all swept under a promise: the gates of Hades shall not prevail. You sit and listen to this message today, the product of events and circumstances in your history that have shaped you for good and for ill. Decisions you wish you could decide over, thoughts, words, and deeds you hope never see the light of day. You have come through the simple life lessons of childhood. You've survived the learning lessons from the playground and the lunch line. Perhaps you're a teenager now. Then you're learning about loyalty and fragility in relationships. You are finding out what your values are. You are being schooled through lessons about reputation and peer pressure. They'll have an effect on you. You are a young man or woman right now. You are discovering the truth of the saying that to be a child is to not know or be concerned about the cost of things. But to be a young adult, on your own, in college, in a first career, in the first years of marriage, means you have to balance more than your social calendar. You have to balance a budget. You are the adult whose career is full of promise, or conversely the one who wonders why you're still doing what you're doing. You're maybe in that spot where you wonder if making and just as quickly spending money is all your life will amount to, and it makes you wonder about priorities in the middle years of your life. You're in retirement, and wonder why you miss your kids and your work like you never thought you would. You're old, and know your Christmas card gets less shorter every year, and it crosses your mind that sooner or later, your name will be the one crossed off. You're all part of a community that has changed in the last 6 months, and it won't be back to normal for quite a while. If you're young, you've had to learn about disappointment, an altered, if not ruined, summer. If you're old and vulnerable, as they say, you've learned that home may be safe, but it's not always where you want to be. The sheer number and pace of decisions you all face tires you and is starting to show. Though we humans have enormous reservoirs with which to store stress, frustration, boredom, or hurt, eventually they surface in trickles or torrents. It can be a humbling and worrisome thing when it happens. No one likes to spill over. So please, picture in your mind's eye an evening at a place called Caesarea Philippi. Jesus, looking at an ancient cavern whose dark waters bubbled up from the deep. The Gate of Hades, they called it. Folks for miles afraid of it, while some built temples in a vainglorious attempt to pacify it. Neither will do. Jesus punctuates the stillness, asking to no one in particular a question everyone must answer. Who do you say that I am? And his gaze turned to the face of a single confessor, an erratic one for sure, with Peter we're in good company, but a confessor of Christ. On the strength of that confession, Jesus said, the gate of Hades, its past and any future it entertained, are finished. We've nothing from it to fear, its accusations and seductions swallowed up by forgiveness and grace, and blessed is the one who its shallow promises does not pursue. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God indeed. Amen.
us profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, help us to rightly confess Christ as Lord by being conformed to his image and not to the world. Transform us by your living word and renew our minds so that we may discern your good and righteous will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend into your gracious care all students, teachers, administrators, and parents who are preparing for this upcoming school year in a very different landscape. Grant wisdom and forbearance to all those who navigate the education of students during this time. Bless all those who teach and all those who learn, that your knowledge would enlighten their lives and draw them nearer to yourself. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who hold offices of authority, that they would govern with equity and honesty, be free from greed, and serve the needs of their constituents by acting wisely and justly. Bring about your peace in the world, and begin in us by reigning in our hearts with the peace of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We praise you, Father, that though you are high and exalted, you care for the lowly. Comfort those who are brought low by anxiety or despair. May they know that you are not far off from their troubles, but see them and hear their cries for help. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we commend to your fatherly goodness all those who are dear to us, that suffer affliction or distress in mind, body, vocation, finances, or relationships. Pour out your healing mercies upon them, and especially we pray for Elizabeth Scott and Bishop Emeritus John Burdowski. We praise you that their injuries were not as severe as they could have been, and ask you to grant them hope and endurance in their long recoveries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom. And teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
I was blind, oh, but now see.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.